Good afternoon. My name is Julie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Brexit and Beyond conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Bruce Keel, you may begin your conference.
Very good. Thank you, Julie, for running the operations side of our call today. And welcome, everybody, on a nice balmy afternoon here in Minneapolis. Looks like it's kind of the same way throughout most of the whole country. So taking the time to spend some time and cool off this afternoon, we appreciate you taking the time. And for those of you who haven't been with us on one of these calls before, pretty much how the format runs, we'll have about a 20-minute session and talking about an economic update. And at the end, as Julie mentioned, there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. So she will give instructions on how to do that. And then also wanted to let you know that this call is being recorded. So it's something that if you know somebody you think could benefit from this information today, a great way to introduce us to others, this call will be recorded, available on our website tomorrow afternoon. And actually in our newsletter on Monday afternoon, we will have a direct link to this call too at lifestagewealth.com. A couple of other items we wanted to share before we jump into the economic and market side is a couple of exciting things we have happening on the LifeStage Wealth calendar. First of all, if you haven't yet, you should be receiving any day an invitation to a fun night with LifeStage and the St. Paul Saints game coming up on Tuesday, August 30th. If you haven't had a chance to go to the Saints game, it's in the new stadium on the east side of St. Paul. It's a lot of fun. It's like half baseball, half entertainment. We'll start at 6 o'clock at the Treasure Island Terrace, which is down the first baseline down in the right field corner. We have our own reserve section that will have a barbecue dinner at 6 o'clock, followed by the game at 7. We also are offering, for those who don't want to drive and park in downtown St. Paul, we do have a bus that will be shuttling people from our office here and through St. Paul. And we have room for about 50 people, and I see right now that is two-thirds full. So if that's something that you would like to take advantage of, by all means, call as soon as possible and reserve your seat on the bus. The other thing that we are very excited about is the new LifeStage Wealth website that we will be rolling out next month. And this will contain some updated information for new potential clients, but most importantly, it has added features for you, our clients. So we'll still have things like, you know, we just mentioned the conference call recording. Another area that people use quite a bit is signing up for events like the baseball game. There's a link and will continue to be a link for a client event sign up, as well as we always take a bunch of pictures. It's kind of fun to look at the photo gallery under events. But then there'll be some new features that we're really excited about. The first thing there'll be is a huge library of articles, presentations, and other videos of critical financial topics, things such as Social Security, estate planning, tax planning, retirement planning, and many other vital financial topics. So it'll be very helpful for those clients who want to dive deeper and get more information on those different topics. We also, as a result of our advisory board, they suggested to have a list of the different types of services of other professionals that we can refer them to. So especially the two most common, attorneys, CPAs, but other areas like health insurance providers or mortgage brokers, a list of people that we have contacts with that clients have given us response of good experience with other professionals. We'll have that referral network on the site. And probably the top thing on the most excited meter, if you will, with the new website, something that we've been working on for quite some time, is a client portal. And I suppose you might ask, what is a client portal? And this is access to your LifeStage Wealth accounts electronically. In addition, you'll have the ability to upload documents, things like wills or 401ks that you want to share with us and store them in this portal that we'll be able to share and look at together. You will also have the ability, should you so desire, for your third quarter portfolio summary from LifeStage, if you want to, through this client portal. So we're very excited to provide this opportunity and access to your LifeStage Wealth accounts, as well as share some of this additional information. And also, brand new, well, I suppose actually the first ever, is a LifeStage Wealth app. So soon to come to your local Apple or Google Play Store, whichever one you prefer, you'll have the opportunity to have electronic access for, again, your LifeStage accounts, this client portal, through your smartphone of choice. So stay tuned for further announcements, but this next quarter has some very exciting items that we'll be rolling out to you very shortly. So investment-wise, it certainly has been a very interesting year. In the first quarter, we saw markets drop by 11%, and then only to gain it back again. Then, about 1 month ago, the world economic situation kind of held in a balance as the British held their referendum, whether to stay or whether to leave the European Union, back on June 23rd. And, of course, the next day, Friday the 24th, the day after they voted, kind of surprisingly, I think, for many people, in a very narrow margin, to leave the European Union, the markets certainly were rocked around the world. Here at home, the Dow Jones dropped over 600 points on that Friday. So actually, I'm very thankful for the timing of how that occurred, because it allowed for the weekend for, I think, maybe cooler heads to prevail. And even though the market did drop again on Monday, really, since then, the markets have undergone quite a turnaround, with the Dow Jones setting a new record for 7 days in a row up through yesterday. Today, the market was down a bit, but still very close to all-time highs. And so this means that the Dow, which went down really, about 5%, actually now has gone up 1,400 points. And after the Brexit vote, probably the measure that we all talk about, you're familiar with, that we track and follow, that is more encompassing, is a broader index, is the S&P 500. That went up over 8% now since the drop after the Brexit vote. And that means the S&P year-to-date is a very respectable 6%. So this first little over half of a year has really turned around and is doing quite well. And that certainly has positively affected client portfolios. A couple of areas that have been doing very well is the real estate fund. That's the Forward Select Income Fund that right now is up 12.5% year-to-date. So that's very encouraging. Of course, that's the one that about half of that, about 6%, is actually from dividends. So it has a very powerful dividend in this low-rate environment. The other area that's been doing really well, Berkshire Hathaway, after having a tough year last year, is doing really well, up 10.7%. But even more conservative area, like the Dodge & Cox Balance Fund, is up 5.9%. A couple of the stock indexes, we had several stock losses kick in earlier this year. And over the last few months, we have been reinvesting some of that money, and the majority of it, actually. And one of the areas that we reinvested into was the iShares. It's a core S&P 500 fund. So since that fund was implemented a couple of months ago, that's up over 6%. The Schwab Broad Market Index is up over 7.5%. So definitely equities have turned around and doing very well. But I would submit probably one of the biggest surprises is really the fixed income or the bond area, especially after, at the end of last year, Janet Yellen increased the Fed rates. And coming into 2016, virtually everybody thought, well, we've been hearing about it for a couple of years, but 2016 is going to be the year that interest rates go up. And, of course, what that means to bonds is it's kind of a headwind. It's like walking into a strong wind. You're going to make progress, but it is going to be kind of challenging. And so we really felt, yes, we got to have, of course, bonds for safety, but maybe for the year we might see an average of 2 or 3% rate of return out of our safe money. But lo and behold, interest rates have actually dropped due to some of these economic events around the world and other areas that we've seen many of our fixed income accounts make 4 or 5% even just so far year to date. We have a floating rate fund that's actually up 6.6%. And even the very conservative PIMCO as well as the TCW Total Return Fund, those are up over 4%. So it's very encouraging to see how some of those safe monies have performed year to date. So what do we expect for the future and the rest of 2016? I guess as we look at the Brexit and the impact of that, really the UK represents only about 4% of the world gross domestic product. So it's not a huge player in the big focus of the world population. It's less than 1% of the people. And really financial markets, after that violent international, international reaction that it had where all the markets around the world dropped, really we've seen a big rebound and a lot of stability over the course of the last few weeks. Already we've seen the new Prime Minister, Theresa May, from Great Britain. She said that they're not even planning on doing any talks this whole year regarding how that exit will occur. And really it's estimated that it'll take about 2 years to map out what that process looks like. So exiting the EU is going to be a long, drawn-out process. Of course, it's very hard to measure what will be the economic impact. It's the first time it's ever happened in the 60-year history that a country has left. So nobody really knows for sure, but most people feel that the impact to us here in the U.S. and to our markets is going to be very minimal because, bottom line, U.S. companies, they only derive about 2.9% of their revenue from Great Britain, so it's not one of our major partners in trade. Also, the Brexit is probably most likely to prove negative for the United Kingdom and also other European economies in the short run, primarily due to uncertainty and probably even in the long run because there's expected loss of trade with these additional trade barriers, reduction in direct foreign investment, not as easy to do that, as well as in barriers to the labor force. So a little more challenging for the UK and European economies, but a lot less sensitive to us here in the United States. Probably the other wild card is there's other countries as a result of this, countries that I've read about like the Netherlands, France, Italy, and a few others that are showing signs of holding their own referendums to see if they stay or exit the EU. So certainly a very interesting time ahead. But bottom line, we do think that our markets here at home are much more impacted more by our current and future domestic economic trends. So really three areas that I want to touch base on as we look at some very specific aspects of our economy. Number one is jobs. Last month, there was a very positive job report, 287,000 jobs added. So that means currently that unemployment rate is at 4.9%, which really is about half of where it was just 6 years ago. Not only are people working, but also we've seen over the last year and a half is that wages are rising, and that certainly bodes very well for consumers that they have a job and actually their wages are increasing. So that's encouraging to see. And also company earnings. Certainly one of the reasons for a very difficult market in the beginning of the year was first quarter earnings were very much a surprise on the downside. Earnings were down about 7%. And so really the bar was set very low. So now we're just coming through second quarter earnings season. And it means that they're expected to rebound quite nicely because that bar was set so low. They're expected to increase about 7%. So right in the middle of that season right now, we saw last week some of the companies that beat those expected earnings was very positive for the markets. Today there were several of them came out, started out the day a little positive, and then slowly the market has kind of turned downwards for the rest of the day. So it'll be interesting to watch that as we continue through this earnings season. And thirdly is record low rates. Not only good for consumers as a look at cost of a mortgage, have just talked to quite a few clients here as of late who are refinancing. I mean, just when we thought it couldn't go any lower, refinancing their mortgage and other debt, which is very positive in terms of spending less on a monthly basis through their mortgage payment. But it also means that bond yields have dropped to record lows. And with those low bond yields, it means more people are attracted to dividend-paying stocks because really for about the same return, but additional growth potential, you can own that stock. And this is why we've seen some of the best performing sectors year to date are companies in the utility area, telephone, telecom areas. They pay higher dividends. So this year, those stocks have been some of the best performers. I was just, we know quite a few telecom people who worked in the telephone industry have AT&T stock, for instance. It's up over 20% year to date. So it's quite surprising to see. But most of our portfolios today, of course, we focus a lot on dividends. And today, that dividend is about 2.5%. So that means if the stock market even stays flat, that portfolios today would still make 2.5%. Of course, a big difference than what the bank pays and money market rates, which, boy, you're lucky to get, you know, 10 cents on your savings in the bank. So interest rates very, very low, but positive as we look at the impact that has on dividend-paying stocks. The other thing that's low, of course, is gas prices. I mean, big difference in what consumers spend is the amount that comes out of our pockets for fuel. And here in the Twin Cities, when gas hovers around $2.10, that's some of the lowest gas that we've seen in the last 10 years. So that means more disposable income. I read for July 4th that it was the busiest road trip weekend ever. And so that means, yeah, people are out there spending money. And again, it's about half the cost. Remember that $4 gas that it touched $4 gas here in the Twin Cities about 8 years ago. So that reduction in cost means more availability for consumers to spend. I think probably one of the other biggest questions that we get from our clients at this point in time, of course, is the circus, otherwise known as our presidential election season, as we continue to see just kind of this fraction or discontent in our U.S. political environment, that market volatility will probably increase as we get into the debates that we'll all love to watch and see when we see, in doing some reading, that the two least popular candidates in U.S. election history are facing off on policy, but it seems like more oftentimes than not lately it's gotten to be more of a grandstanding. So usually these elections don't have a huge impact and are kind of ignored by the markets. But, yeah, with the debate about global trade, income division, additional regulations, yeah, we'll probably see a ramping up certainly of the rhetoric and probably also the volatility in the markets as well. So it'll be interesting to see, but at the same time we're seeing right now U.S. growth is a very moderate, continues to be around 2% in our gross domestic product. It does not seem to us that we see signs of a recession. There's too many good things happening. Again, housing has been quite strong. Just reading here in the Twin Cities how the median housing is the highest it's ever been, now recovered from the drop of 2008. But it also doesn't seem like we have a lot of momentum really for that growth to expand much either. So bottom line, it does seem like we're kind of in this period of moderate growth. So with the uncertainty of Brexit and other factors, the Fed also seems to be lowering what they expect the economy to grow. So that does mean that we're probably not going to see any rate increase here 2016. A lot, of course, can happen between now and the end of the year. But right now, it's probably more likely that it'll occur in 2017. Other areas around the world, we look at China. China's growth continues to lag behind, and so that certainly affects U.S. companies, certainly a big market for many companies here in the U.S. Japan has also slipped back into a recession. Excuse me. sorry about that. Just a little drink of water here. Excuse me. So emerging markets have actually, you know, been something that's been out of favor for a long time. And here as of late, they've shown some strength. So we've looked at, boy, should we put some money back in emerging markets? But boy, right now, the volatility of that area, especially as you look at global growth, which really is projected to go into a slowdown with the Brexit, that does have an impact. And so it's one of those things that we just don't think the potential risk is worth the potential gain. And so we'll see what happens in that area, but right now emerging markets have been pretty strong the last few weeks, but right now it's an area that we're watching very closely but feel not a good place to be for us at the present time. I suppose if you spend a little time watching CNN, you can feel pretty anxious about really what's going on, the state of affairs all around the world. And, of course, a lot of times people just wonder, how do these events really impact my ability to live a secure retirement? And that's really where I'm very thankful for our TAP program. When the market dropped over 600 points on June 24th, it certainly was not a fun Friday. But, you know, my screen was very red. But at the same time, there are a couple of areas that were actually green on there. And so it's very appropriate to have a good setup in the first place, having some of that money on the safe side. Still keep some of that money in growth, but at the same time, have some of that protection for some of those down days too. And I think at this time, Julie, based on my voice right now, I think we'll go ahead and open it up for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star one on your telephone keypad. Your first
Maybe
question...
Julie is- If we see, maybe we'll just give it a minute to see if there are any questions. I guess one thing I was going to share, too, is that probably our best investment over the last 7 years has been Berkshire Hathaway. Mr. Buffett's been around for 50 years. We've owned it for the last seven, and it's done extremely well for our clients. And bottom line, that stock has done really well. Over the 50 years that they've been in business, it's averaged about 21%. While the stock market has averaged 9.9%. And I guess our takeaway is, number one, we'll keep that stock. Number two, in that 50-year period, there were 12 different elections. There are a lot of periods of uncertainties, wars, there 9/11 happened, or double-digit inflation back from the 70s when home mortgages were 17%. So a lot of uncertainty. But I think one of the keys is that it seems like our country, our markets, are very resilient to weather some of those storms. And that's why maybe it won't average the 9.7% that it has the last 50, but even if it does half of that, we find that our clients' financial goals, on average, we look at a 4 to a 6% rate of return will help them accomplish their goals and really help them weather all the uncertainties of future economic events. So just wanted to share that and see, did we have any questions at all, Julie, today?
Your first question comes from the line of Robert Coley. Your line is open.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah, hi. Now, I read this somewhere, but I'm not sure what they said, but usually they say in an election year, the stock gains a lot more during an election year than it does go down. Is there any truth to that or not?
Well, very good question. Appreciate that question. And actually, statistics show that in an election year, it's primarily due to there's no major policy changes in an election year. So the current administration, usually there's not a lot of laws being passed that can negatively impact the markets. And the statistics that I've seen, it's like 56% of the time in an election year, the market goes up. So even though statistically, yes, it does go up more often than it goes down, it's not much different than a coin flip. So I certainly would not bet the house on it, if you will, but statistically what you read is correct. So thank you for that question.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else today, Julie?
There are no further questions at this time.
Well, very good. Probably if we were holding this call 3 weeks ago when things were in a turmoil, we'd probably have a few more. But at the same time, you know that at any point in time, contact Nate or myself, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. We do want to thank you for that opportunity to guide you along your financial journey. Please call us if you do have any questions, anything that we can be helping you out with. Otherwise, go cozy up next to the air conditioner for a very warm evening, and we hope to see many of you at the ballpark here next month. Have a great evening, and thank you once again for your business.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.